Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Manager League. On the mic with me today is my special guest, Chris Sorrentino. Know him as the co-host of Super Light Adventure Podcast with the kids on the street called Slap.
you guys got some slap, man. I need my slap.
You're also a great artist.
Oh, thank you.
Listeners of this show will know your work because you did the Pop Culture Man Children, like the emblem.
I did the graphics. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed doing that.
People love it.
I like it because you were kind of like, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I came at you with something. You were like, this is perfect.
Because I didn't want to dictate, like, exactly what I wanted. I was just like, here's what I like, here's what Amelia liked, and you kind of put it all together.
Hey, those of you who might commission artists for artwork, I'm not even saying me, but if you want, I'm at chrisjsorrentino.com. But if you do commission an artist for anything, that's the right approach.
Yeah.
You give some input, but you don't hover parent. You don't glom onto the whole thing. You let the artist do his thing, and you let him breathe.
What's the point?
Exactly. Man, that's why I love you.
And thank you. I love you, too.
You get it, brother.
I do get it. You're also at Path of the Bean.
Yeah, it's an Etsy shop. I run with my wife. Actually, she runs, and I tag along. It's Etsy.com/shop/Path of the Beam. She's an artist as well.
There's cool stuff there.
Thank you.
A lot of cool stuff there.
Thank you. Yeah, so she's gracious enough to help me sell my artwork on there because I'm like...
Not a good salesman?
I'm like, if you see me at a con, like, I'll talk to you for 3 hours about, like, the second Care Bear movie. Like, just something totally ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, and not try to sell you something. I've actually had people walk by with... Like, I'm selling a painting.
Yeah.
I remember specifically it was Figment from Journey into Your Imagination, the Epcot run. Yeah. And I did this awesome, this real dope painting of Figment.
Yeah, I remember it.
And this guy walks by and he's like, oh, man, how much for that? And I don't really label prices. So I look at the guy and he has a little girl with him and I was like, for you, 60. And he's like, oh, man, that's one little spark, the song from the ride. He goes, that's my wedding song. I was like, give me 40. Like, I just keep.
Terrible negotiator.
I'm the worst. Oh, yeah.
You lowball them.
Yeah, if the guy's grandmother would have rolled out, it would have been 20. Like, he
I was there for that. I actually I saw that interaction. That was that was at Newdorp High School.
Yeah,
right?
The Newdorp High School Comic Con. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah. That guy was like, he was into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you do cool stuff like that. I've been collecting your prints. So I've got your Shining Twins, the Grady Twins. I've got your Stranger Things piece. You do like pop culture shit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of huge right now.
Oh, totally.
But it's like,
it's a big market.
You're into it, though.
Yeah.
You're not one of these people.
I don't fake the like funk on a nasty dunk. You know what I mean?
That's literally what I always say about you. You're not like the Big Bang Theory. You can tell you actually give a shit about this show. I'm here in your house. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, Slap Studios. Yeah, welcome to the lovely Slap Studios, Staten Island.
This is half of it, at least.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing your Stave Puft Marshmallow Man refrigerator.
Yeah.
You've got the Ghostbusters emblem on your stove and your dishwasher.
Yeah.
You're not a faker. For real.
This is a pretty nerdy house. It's just all weird. A lot of Doctor Who stuff over there. My wife is a big Doctor Who fan. All those magnets and I don't know. Oh, she took them down. There's a TARDIS cookie jar collection, tea kettle.
That's
stuff
awesome.
Like that. I don't know where she moved those to. Yeah, but if you go to my bathroom, my toilet is it's a portal to the Ministry of Magic.
And that's
awesome. Yeah, like all that stuff.
It's October, so this is still our salute to Halloween. All month long, we've been doing a salute to Halloween. We do salute, sound effect, Halloween.
Nice.
Since it is October, it is important that we talk about something I've not talked about yet.
Sound effects.
Yeah. This is going to be a deep dive on David Prowse. We are talking about Ghostbusters. Can you remember getting into it? Can you remember seeing it for the first time or any of that?
Yes. All right. This is weird. In 84, I was 5, going to be turning 6 that year. I was born in 78.
Okay.
So I was graduating kindergarten. And Ghostbusters and Gremlins both came out the same day, June 8th, 1984.
Did they come out the same
day? Same fucking day. June 8th, 1984.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So I had a choice to see whatever movie I wanted, and I had picked Gremlins.
Still a good choice.
It's still a good choice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
All fine and dandy. I'm still a huge Gremlins maniac. But that summer, I wound up seeing Ghostbusters so many times.
Really?
That I was like sick of the movie. Imagine being five and sick of Ghostbusters. I think that's how many times I saw it in the movie. I probably saw it, I'm not even joking, like 15 to 20 times. Just,
you would just, your parents would just be,
yeah,
taking,
just somebody would always be taking me. Yeah. I'd be with friends' parents. And, oh, you got to see this. I just happened to be that kid that was caught on the tail end of every group that was like, did you hear about this movie? I have to see it. Okay, let's all go see it.
Like, you were like the stovetop stuffing kid.
Yeah, Stovetop Chris.
Hey, Mom, can I go see Ghostbusters with my friend? All right, be back for dinner. We're going to go see Ghostbusters later. Okay.
Yeah. Come back 30 pounds heavier.
Jesus, that's funny.
I was eating a lot of Ghostbusters back then. I was. It was five. It was the '80s. It was a wild time.
You kids don't know.
Yeah, millennial kid. No. So I'm not gonna rag on anybody. I'm just a dick face. So I had seen it so many times, and it was like I got like a heat stroke or something, and blamed Ghostbusters on a headache.
Wow.
Like, this movie, kapooey. You know. So, cut to 1986, when the cartoon comes out. The first one I had seen was, I think it's called Devil's Night. It's the episode where Winston is playing baseball against these American Indian spirits playing against denizens of hell. And you think they're playing for the weight of one soul, and end of the episode, the rest of the gang catches up with Winston, and they're like, "Oh my god!" Like, and Winston wins the game, and they get to witness it. And Peter's like, "Oh man, like, I'm glad you got to keep your soul." And Winston's like, "We weren't playing for my soul, man." Like, kind of winking at Peter, and like,
dun 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 dun, boom boom boom.
Best score ever.
Let me ask you a question.
Shuki Levy.
Is there a, in the movie, it sounds like they call him Winston Zeddemore. But in the cartoon, it sounds like they call him Winston Zeddemore.
Zeddemore.
I always thought that was in my head. Is that a real thing that happened?
I think it's...
Or it's just the reading of the
reading,
actor.
I think
it.
It's like Padme. Like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's like that.
Poor Ernie Hudson got fucked on that. If you guys don't know... They were doing readings for the cartoons, and who ended up doing it was Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
But Ernie Hudson was the only original guy who was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he auditioned for it, and he didn't get it.
Didn't get the role.
What a fucking kick in the ass. I mean, his relationship with the Ghostbusters is fucked up because he's not on the poster.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be in the movie more and have more of a backstory.
Well, that's when Eddie
Murphy cut him down.
Eddie Murphy was originally, it was, the role was written for Eddie Murphy.
And really? I don't think Eddie Murphy ever knew that.
Yeah, and when Eddie Murphy, he couldn't do it because he was committed to 48 Hours. So
he had been young though, Eddie Murphy, right?
Yeah. Well, he's just coming out of SNL. Like, he started on SNL like probably like 83, 82.
Yeah.
Just why I love the Winston character, and it works. Believe me, it works with Ernie Hudson, but also it worked with Eddie Murphy because Winston, at some point in the movie, is our only link to these maniacs.
Yes,
they're three insane mad scientists. Like, they're building fucking nuclear devices that can blow up city blocks.
Right, right.
And they're getting fines because of that, and they don't care, and they keep going, and like, they're fucking throwing it right in authority's face.
Right, right, right.
The Ghostbusters are fucking punk rock, and I don't know if people realize Ghostbusters are punk rock.
Right, right, right.
But they're like, fuck you to every authority.
It's true, yeah.
They swindle the mayor.
That's one of Winston's best moments with the mayor. Winston is almost like the companion in Doctor Who.
Yes.
He's
your ground
floor.
He'll
ask questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when somebody, when they're giving you some psychology or like science babble, Winston will go, explain it to me like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's sort of the audience surrogate.
Exactly.
So he, you know, the whole Twinkie thing, he's the one going, I don't understand, explain it to me. The whole speech where he's talking about the Bible when they're driving over, what, the Brooklyn Bridge, I think?
Yeah. That's a, oh, that's
a
Elmer
cool
Bernstein score.
Yeah, yeah.
That Yeah. It gets like funky.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that
scene. Let's listen to some tunes.
Yeah. But that's great because you get that moment where you see he's the only one out of them that you see where he's rooted.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
But also you see like his back,
he believes in religion.
Yeah.
His story is really interesting because it's like he's a normal guy who like becomes a superhero.
Yeah.
Like it's just a job for him. Like I love the moment.
I just work with these guys, man. I wasn't even there. Like,
yeah. Well, he turns to them when he needs to. I love the moment in 2 when he saves them from the fire in the dark room.
You want to know something? That is one of my favorite scenes in any movie. Not just because it's Winston saving them. That was the first time I've ever been in a movie theater. I remember seeing Ghostbusters 2 opening day, June 16th, 1989. It was a Friday. I was in like fourth grade. I remember coming home from school and going to see that movie. And it was the best fucking time of my life. And people cheered at that part. They were Winston! Yeah! It was the first time I've ever been in a movie where people actively were like, wow! And I was like, holy shit! People are losing their shit for Winston when I'm coming in bashing down the door with a fucking fire extinguisher.
He fucking saves the day.
Dude,
he had the upper body strength. He was definitely most buff of the
Ghostbusters. Oh, well, his whole... Did you ever read the comics and stuff, the IDW series? Ooh, they're great. You know what? I have...
Wait, is that the one that's currently...
It's current.
There's one where, like... Ray is talking. He's having a dream, but it's the ghost of John Belushi.
Yeah, that's the current. That's the start of it. Yeah,
that's the start of it.
His like spirit guide is Jake Belushi.
Right.
Dude, they pull in references from like spies. Like, there's a part where it's like snowing, and they're out inside in the snow, and Peter's oh, I hate the snow. And someone's like, why? He's like, hey, it gives me deja vu. Like, they throw a fucking Groundhog's Day reference. Some of the ghosts are taken right out of the cartoon and the toys.
Yes, that's true.
It's cool. But in that, they get into the backstory. Winston came from the Marines. Like, Winston was a Marine.
That makes sense.
So he's like... quick to like do some physical tussling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they come out of the slime in Ghostbusters 2 after like going down into the Van Horn station and he's like, I'll punch your lights out, man. And he's like, let's go. It's go time, man. Like they're fighting. As a kid, I was always like, oh my God.
He's going to fuck
them up. Oh my God. We're just going to kill those guys. Like he would kick the. If Winston had.
He came down to it.
Winston would kick the shit out of Ray and Ego.
Yeah.
And he's all possessed with this slime, this fucking dirty. Dirty Vigo slime, like this Carpathian
river
cum.
Slime. I don't think they even knew there was a film.
Uh-oh.
And then one day I was at my grandmother's, and I must have been like 4 or something. And she was like, she didn't know what to do with me. And I was like, let me eat again. And she was like, no, you're fat enough. Let me, she was like, do you want to watch Ghostbusters? And I was like, it's not on yet, you fucking idiot. And she was like, no, we could watch the movie. And I literally was like, there's a movie? I was shocked.
Yeah.
And then she put it on, and I was sitting right in... I used to sit right in... It was the 80s. I sat right in front of the TV.
Oh, of course you did.
Like, so your eyeballs would burn out.
Yeah.
And I was in a Big Bird chair.
All right.
And I watched the opening up until the librarian ghost jumps at them. And then
I flew back
on my chair, screamed, ran out of the room. And that was it. I didn't see it again, I think, for like 2 more years.
It was, that was a scary.
That scared the shit out
of me. My kids are humongous Ghostbusters. They're part of New York City Ghostbusters, too. They come out and troop with us. That still, and they're 7 and 9. That's still like a jumpy, like, whoa.
It sets the tone of it's not just going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, shit will get you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the supernatural spooktacular.
Yeah.
I think that's how it was built. Yeah.
What's it like sharing your fandom with your kids?
It's amazing. Well, you know what's funny? I was just about to go into a story about them, and this hopefully explains it. And maybe we'll offer some insight into our lives, because it's like, I don't remember what I had thought of certain things as a kid pertaining to like Ray getting a blowjob from a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you really like process what was happening?
I didn't think... I knew that was his pee-pee, and that's funny.
Yeah.
But I didn't think... he was getting a blowjob. Like, I don't know what I thought, but I didn't think something sexual
happened. I mean, he could have had a handy, but it's implied that it's a ghost blowjob.
Right. When he, like, crosses his eyes and faints, which is what I do when I get a blowjob.
Oh, every time.
That's a normal reaction.
Yeah.
I just thought, ha-ha, something's happening.
A limp dick.
Like, ha-ha, she took down his pants or whatever. That's what I thought.
That, well, it's funny because you're watching this movie with your kids, and it's a movie you love, and it's, yeah, yeah, they love it. They've seen a billion times, so like it's kind of like it's programmed to override, like they're not even questioning what's going on. But one day, they giggled at it, and I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, I was like, it's funny, right? And they're like, yeah. I was like, what do you think's going on with that?
Why is that funny?
Yeah, and they said, and they were a little younger, so I think yeah, like one of them at least was still in diapers. And he goes, because Ray got so scared by the ghost, he went to the bathroom, and then the ghost changed him.
Wow.
I was like, wow!
That's pretty good.
I was like, that just blew my, that put a different perspective on Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And that's honestly what sharing your fandom with your kids can do. It
yeah,
really gives you this, it's, man, I do not mean this in a selfish way, but it really is selfish. It gives you a chance to like, relive your childhood. It's different, but it's there. It's that magic. It
yeah,
hits you, and you're yeah, like, whoa. And I, man, I love it for them, and I love that they're enjoying it, but there's a part of me that selfishly enjoys it for myself.
But it's all, in some ways, it's selfless too, because we talked about Gremlins before. I went to see Gremlins last Christmas at the Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was sitting
next to
my friend, and then the other side of us was a dad and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter was like 8, perfect age. And not to sound like a creep, but I was like, kept looking to see like, what's she thinking of this? And she was laughing at the parts that was laughing. She was going, oh, when Gizmo was there. And she was scared and covering her eyes when Stripe was there being
yeah,
scary. And it was like watching it through this kid's eyes.
It's amazing.
And it's like, this kid is getting everything this movie's supposed to be doing. She's laughing. She's loving it. She's loving Gizmo. She's scared at the right things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there going like, the puppetry is so... You
know, yeah,
you know, you can't help but be like a film nerd. But yeah, she's just like loving it. And it's kind of like that. I mean, it's not really selfish. It's like... new eyes. It's like getting fresh eyes.
Exactly. And
yeah,
it's so reinvigorating. That's another movie with a scene my kids have seen 1,000 times, and I'm like, oh, like I'm a big Christmas guy. Like
yeah,
I will still to this very day like insist that there is a Santa Claus. You know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I'm that guy. I have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, sorry if you hate fun. Don't come around here no more. But that's a scene with Phoebe Cates on the story of her dad, and she's like, and that's how I found out there's no Santa. And like, oh, every time. And it's
yeah,
like, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Talking about when you were a kid, I did not get that was funny until I was an adult. It's
know,
over
it's
the top
exactly,
how dark it is.
Exactly.
And they push it further in part two.
Exactly. It was like with Lincoln,
yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah,
weird
yeah,
old
yeah,
guy who looked like Lincoln. Yeah.
But it's there in part one, like how ridiculous. But I, as a kid, I just totally... was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
wow, what a sad story. When it's just like, it's so over the top insane. And that was like prime Phoebe Cates. That was
oh,
like,
man,
I was
me,
so in love with her.
Oh, God.
She was like the girl next door kind of
yeah,
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, Zaluga and I, my partner on Slap, we've been writing a comic book for some time. And
yeah, yeah,
the next door neighbor, the girl, her name is Phoebe, and I draw her as Phoebe
oh,
Cates,
awesome,
pretty much. Yeah, it's the story's called The Fourth, and it's about the one particular 4th of July in 1984.
Okay,
and
cool,
it's town of misfit, like a rocker kid, jock kid.
What are you gonna do with it when you finish it?
It's probably gonna wind up being a Kickstarter thing,
yeah, okay,
tied into our Patreon for the podcast, a little Chub Club. Yeah, so that'll probably be like tied into that at some point also.
Okay.
Like,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure it out. We've been writing this comic and talking about it on the back burner for a long time, like a better part of a decade.
Really?
Yeah. It's just one of those things like, hey, man, like I got a 9-year-old kid now. You know what I mean? Like
right.
He has a kid now. And like, it's like,
it'll be better.
It'll
now.
Yeah. We just needed to grow up
a little
we,
bit. To tell
yeah,
the story. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you think about Ghostbusters 2? It gets often maligned
it
in
does,
the media.
It is not a great movie. I recognize its flaws.
Yeah.
But I still love it. It's like anything. It's like a marriage, man. You accept somebody's flaws if you truly love them.
Yeah.
And I truly love Ghostbusters in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Even now, I never totally get why people hate it so much. Like, it's definitely...
Because people love to hate, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just...
It's
that's
true,
just it.
But
it sucks.
It's nothing... It's, you know, it's not like Jaws 2. I recently watched Jaws 2 just for the fun of it. And, God,
yeah,
is that movie terrible.
It is terrible, but then you watch three, and then you watch four,
yeah,
like, and you're
right,
like, two
wasn't
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the problem with it. It's the kind of sequel that decides, here's what we'll do. We'll just do beat by beat the same story beats.
Yeah.
Instead of Louis Tully, we'll do Janosz Pocha. Instead of this, we'll do that. It's sort of
even
like
the same
beats.
Yeah, even the same, like, they're outbussing ghost montage. And then
ghosts
are making all kinds of ghost craziness montage.
Yeah.
With that cool-ass... what's his name? From the Eagles, that song? The
Glenn Frey
song?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know why everyone... I love that. That's a great scene with the fur coat coming to life and like...
I've always wanted to see more of... I guess it was a cut scene with them in the black outfits in the jewelry store?
Yes.
What the fuck is going on?
And they
have
the
moment?
Sunglasses and that weird...
Yeah. That's almost as weird as the blowjob. I've always like, what is happening in this moment?
Yeah, I think... Well, you know...
They shot so much shit on those movies.
The weird blowjob scene for Ghostbusters 2 is kind of Janine and Lewis hooking up.
Yeah.
Always sat wrong with me. They made Janine very, like, slutty in that second movie. I was like, this isn't Janine. Like, it does not sit well with me.
But did you like that it seemed like they made a distinct choice to make her look like the animated version?
Oh, yeah. She's a caricature.
They also don't
point.
Smoke in the second one or curse in the second one. They don't say fuck. But
that's true. Well, Ray does smoke that cigar when they're blowing the slime on the inside of Statue of Liberty.
That's true. Yeah, but, you know, that was only responsible because at that point they knew they had a huge kid fan base.
Yeah. But still, like, why even go for that choice? Like, we're just going to smoke a cigar. I guess because it's New Year's Eve, like,
celebrating.
Yeah, we're
having a good time.
Smoking cigars, like.
That's probably the worst part of part two, because not to say Stave Puff makes any sense, because it fucking doesn't, but the Statue of Liberty coming to life really makes no fucking sense. Because it's a hollow, I mean, if you're New Yorker, you know that she's on a pedestal, so she can't just jump off.
I was going to say that, yeah, it's like...
She steps right off.
Yeah, she steps right off in the movie. If you go to the harbor, it's probably the pedestal that the statue's on is like three quarters the same size as Statue of Liberty. It's like if you had to jump off something that was 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to go somewhere. Like, I'm not starting my day like that.
It was just, hey, we had a big giant thing in the third act of the first movie. We need another big giant thing in this movie.
You want to hear something really weird? This is so funny. This is one of those things I haven't thought about in years. When I had first seen Ghostbusters 2 in the theater, I remember vividly that scene where they're like, oh, we need a symbol, something, you know.
Yeah.
And they're all looking at the Ecto-1 license plate and it's focusing in on the Statue of Liberty.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even pick up on that. And I was like, oh, man, they're going to get everyone like rallied around the Ecto-1 or the Ecto-1A.
I thought
the car was going to be the symbol.
Because for you as a child, it was a symbol of hope.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I don't care about a statue.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah, it takes a weird patriotic turn.
Nobody became American until 2001.
Yeah. Right, that's so funny. Although I do like the thing the mayor says in part two. I don't know if it's the mayor or Ray who says, like, it's every New Yorker's
God-given
right.
Treat other people like
Yeah.
Your 5 minutes are up, gentlemen. Good night. Yeah, that.
Even the mayor scene is just like part one.
Dude, there's so many. But there's little jabs that I don't think people pick up on where.
Almost 50% of us voted for you in the last election.
Almost 50%. That means one of them voted. That's hilarious.
It really is a great dig. Lenny. Instead of getting arrested and put in a pen, they're put in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
With Brian Doyle.
who later, not the same character, but the same actor, becomes the mayor of New York.
Oh, yeah, right.
In the video game.
Oh, right.
You ever hear the story of that?
No.
The actor who portrayed the mayor in the first in the first and second Ghostbusters movie, he was set to play the mayor in the video game.
Really?
Yeah, he was hired back, and they could not get like an okay from Bill Murray to come back and reprise Peter Venkman. Like he was not committing. So in order to lure him, they dumped the mayor. They hired Brian Doyle Murray as the new mayor, and used it as like a way to lure Bill in. Yeah, and that's why he wound up circling back.
What a scumbag move. I mean, it worked, though.
It worked. That's how you trap a Murray. You gotta catch Brian Doyle.
Either that or you say, hey, we're going to have a golf tournament.
Oh, and then they all show up. All six of them. How many of them are?
Yeah.
I've been to that restaurant they opened. Caddyshack. Yeah, it's in like it's in Florida. Like last time I drove out
it was
pretty awesome. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. They had some Ghostbusters, like
that's
a couple
cool.
of pictures and stuff like that. But like I said, it's his. It's his Han Solo. So
yeah.
it was more like Caddyshack and Kingpin. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it was really cool though. I'll show you some pictures. They have like the script from Caddyshack, like notes, everything. It's like behind glass, and I'm like,
oh wow,
man.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
we're all over the place because there's toys, there's a cartoon, there's. Two, maybe three movies.
Yeah.
There's a video game.
Depends who you ask.
Right. And
maybe four. Sometimes some people count that video game, the 2009 game, as the third film.
It works really well as a third film.
It ties together the first and second one. Brilliant.
And it makes it that there's another big bad that you didn't know about who was actually behind both Gozer coming back and Viggo coming back.
And is mentioned in the first movie.
Yeah, right.
I suppose at this point. It's Ivo Shandor, the builder of the Dana Barrett apartment building.
Yeah.
And you later find out he has this island off of Manhattan that kind of rises from the depths of, like, the East River that you have to go there eventually at some point in the game. That's his island, and he was generating all these different types of psychomagnetheric slime.
Right.
So that's, like, where the pink slime was pumping into the New York subway system.
It really worked like a trilogy. It was kind of an amazing thing.
And he was pumping the slime out of an imprisoned Slore. And if you know, like, the Vince
right,
Clore,
right,
the
right,
many,
right,
many,
right,
yeah,
right.
like, many shubs and zools were roasted in the depths of the Slore that day, I can tell you. Like,
it
oh my God.
Sense.
They put a little neat little bow on
you
it.
Could smell the sting of Aykroyd all over that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That thing's definitely reeking.
He
of
definitely
Aykroyd.
Was like, I want a bad guy with a dick nose. And they're like, no.
I'd like a train that shoots hot dogs at the Ghostbusters at some point in the movie. Like, no, Dan, just make some vodka.
Oddly enough, in the game, there's a lot of background skull vodkas. I don't know what they're
doing. Yeah, I know. But I get real thirsty playing it. You know, one of my favorite stories from that game is a story Bill Murray had told where he was recording for the game. Later, after he's walking out of the recording studio, he's walking down the street, and because this is the first time he's like really jumping back into Ghostbusters.
Right, for a long time he was like, "Don't even ask me about
it."
Yeah,
he was walking down the street, humming the Ghostbusters, singing the Ghostbusters song, and some guy just turns around and goes, "Get over it already!"
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, way to get caught.
Yeah, right.
If I saw Bill Murray humming the Ghostbusters theme, I would maybe cry.
Yeah, I'd be hard.
Oh man, there's so many good Bill Murray stories of like people bumping into him.
Yeah, well, there's a whole documentary coming out where
really?
This filmmaker talked to all these people about their Bill Murray stories. So he's interviewing them, and it's all cut together. All these crazy Bill Murray, like, and it's like, oh yeah, I don't like legit, like Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
like Phil Connors, like he pulled up to someone with a flat tire and like helped jack up their car and everything. Yeah, and
that's insane.
Like, oh.
I remember back when I did go to like bars and clubs and shit, when I like places where you can dance, like in 2006, 2007.
Yeah, oh boy,
I remember we would go to this one place that we never saw him, but like the vibe was always, oh, he comes in here. His son's band plays here sometimes. Yeah, he was here last night. Like, and we'd be like, oh shit. We would like go with the intention of maybe Bill Murray will show up and we'll buy him a shot.
Well,
sadly, he never appeared.
He was popping up. His son has a restaurant. His son Homer is a chef and opened up a place like a bar restaurant in Brooklyn. I think like Williamsburg or Bushwick,
one of the cool places to be.
And he was popping up there, and I have a lot of friends in the Ghostbusters community. I'm actually part of the New York City Ghostbusters, like that franchise of like cosplayers and like fundraisery people. Like we do a lot of things to raise money and bring awareness to things. And we work with children.
How did you get into that?
I had heard about this thing called Minions of Gozer,
mm-hmm.
and did you ever hear of this thing?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
My partner on Super Live Adventure, John Zaluga, my best friend, over 20 years, the love of my life, funniest guy I know. I took him for his birthday, and I was blown away by this Minions of Gozer show. It's basically, for those of you who don't know, it's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show to Ghostbusters. And there's actors up there the whole time performing the parts, like lip syncing. Nobody's like saying certain lines you will yell. This man has no dick. And like, you know, certain things you will yell out for comedic effect. But like, they have a Slimer puppet
right.
and
Don't they have like silly string?
Silly string. Yeah,
beams?
They spray the gun and like this chick is toast. You throw toast.
Yeah.
Ray Stantz, the heart of the Ghostbusters. You have the little like Valentine's Day hearts. You throw them. Twinkies, marshmallows.
Yeah. Super, like, fun,
the
interactive.
Whole fucking thing. It's so I heard about this and I was like, I have to get my greasy little meat hooks into this thing. So I went. I loved it, and I brought my buddies. They loved it. I obviously loved it so much more because I reached out to them, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm an artist. I'm a graphic artist. If you need any work, I'd love to work for you guys. And they didn't take me up on it because they already had, like, a guy there that was working with the show. Doing stuff, and I don't want to step on toes. Okay, yeah, right, totally. Right. I'm not that type of person. But I did keep in contact with some of the guys, and we wound up becoming friends, and I wound up booking some shows out here for them. And I asked them on the podcast. They've been on a couple of podcasts. I started getting very close with some of these guys. And then some of them were in turn part of the New York City Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. So they invited me out to a couple of things. It was kind of like a, you know, like the Masons. You know, I got invited there. You don't just like go there looking for a Mason. You get like a weird wink and a handshake. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little nut tap and you're like, I'm in. And of course, they're like obsessed with the movies and everything.
Yeah.
It's like you go out drinking with these guys. It's just like
now when you go out drinking with them,
references that would blow your mind.
Are you cosplay drinking or are you just normal guys at that moment drinking?
Depends where you are. Sometimes it'll be after a particular like event, or sometimes it'll just be like, let's all get together. So and so is in town. These guys from like Massachusetts mm-hmm. are in town, like the Ghostbusters chapter out there, like New England chapter.
Wow.
They're in town. Let's meet up. Let's hang out. It's like shit like that. It's pretty cool.
You have pretty cool gear.
Thanks.
I've seen you. Did you build that after you got hooked up with these guys, or did you have it before?
No, after. Yeah.
Is it replica pieces? Did you make anything?
I had gotten the Anovos kit. Anovos is a company that originally started out doing like Star Wars mm-hmm. props and stuff like that. And they had finally released a Ghostbusters pack and everything like that. So I got that kit. You could buy kits online. This one, complete with the there's this thing called the Alice frame. And that's what the pack sits on.
That's for like military.
Yeah. It's for like medics and shit like that. So this thing, that alone was, I think it was like 60 or 80, and then the pack itself, the whole kit from toe to tip was like 800.
Wow.
But you could buy unlicensed kits that are like a grand. You could buy pre-built packs for like $2,000. Yeah. Like it's really, it starts getting expensive.
Really?
And I treated myself, because this is something I was like, it was, you know, like, yeah, do you have one of those things like when you promised yourself when you were a kid, like if I'm able to do this at any point, I don't care if I'm destitute, starving, I don't give a shit, I will make this happen.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was one of them. It was like, I will own a proton pack. I will be buried in a Ghostbuster proton pack.
Which is ironic, really, when you think about it. I had two proton packs. One, I think, at my grandmother's house and one at home. Because I used to hang out with my cousins and we were like, you know, I think I was always Egon. But I wanted to be Egon. I did the glasses and shit. And I didn't have a proton pack and my dad was like, all right. You know, so we went to Toys R Us. He got me another proton pack. And I remember my dad saying, don't tell your mother I got you this.
Yeah.
And that's maybe one of my earliest memories. It's definitely the first memory I have of my father telling me to keep a secret from my mother.
Yeah.
Don't tell your mother.
Lifelong lesson. You know what's funny? I have a disassociation with the not the best association with the kid proton pack. I wasn't like a big dress up and play kid. I wasn't like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like none of my friends I hung out with every day were into Ghostbusters.
So, I'm so sorry.
Ghostbusters was like my own thing. No, it's okay because I cultivated it within myself. And
It was your thing. It was your thing.
It was something I identified with my whole life. And it's funny because when it became like popular again, I was like, where you been? You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
Like it was always like my, I was
so a you're big, a figure guy.
So figure guy. I was everything. I would read, religiously read the role-playing games from West End Games. I had nobody to play them with. Ooh, they're great. I mean, you could download them all now, but I still have them in paper form. They're worth a bunch of money.
I don't even remember that.
Oh, it came out in 86. They were based off the movie. They are gorgeous. You will fall in love with
them. Wow. I remember the color
written,
forms.
It's so funny. Oh, yeah, the color forms.
There was
set.
Two. There was the street, and then there was the deluxe one that was the haunted house.
Yeah. So the proton pack, I wound up getting one.
Yeah.
But I was definitely a little too aged out, and like I just felt like he was too small on me, and like I just felt my fat kid tits like popping out of the.
Well, you could have been Ray.
Yeah.
Man, I definitely
they made Ray a porker. Poor Ray.
Yeah, I know
in the
that
cartoon. Whoa!
I know he looks more like Ralph Mouth than he does.
Yeah,
Aykroyd. That's so funny. Have you been to the Madame Tussauds virtual reality thing?
Yeah, man, that was pretty cool.
This is not hyperbole. That was maybe the best moment of my life.
Yeah.
For any of you who don't know, in New York City, there's Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
That thing's closing soon, though.
Is it really?
Taking out the,
the VR's board, coming out.
The VR, yeah.
Yeah, there's always like a different thing on like the third floor or whatever.
Yeah.
So I went like last year.
When the reboot came out.
Yeah, it was tied into the reboot.
Yeah.
It's VR, and it's like the kind of VR where you've got on the backpack and you've got on a really pretty cool VR goggles, but you're walking through a real 3D space. You can go just two people, but they want to run it once. So, like, there was two other people, and they were like, do you guys want to go together? And I was like, sure, we'll go together. Yeah. There'll be four of us. So we get in there, and it's like something clicked in me where it was like, I've trained my whole life for this.
Yeah.
And I'm like a shy person.
Blowing plates off a wall.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, this is real.
I'm a kind of shy person. I immediately took the leader role. And, like, I'm usually scared of that shit, but I'm like, there's a fucking proton pack on your back. What are you afraid of?
It vibrates as you're shooting. It's like, it doesn't feel hokey.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just...
It's not like the Wii, you know?
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. And if I can psychoanalyze why it's important to me, or why I think it was important to kids, is I think the kids are scared of things. And I think that Ghostbusters says, hey, you know what's powerful? Laugh at the things that you're scared of.
Exactly. That's what – I used to be terrified. I used to have night terror.
Me too.
I'm an artist. I have a very vivid imagination.
Yeah.
And, like, I would scare myself to a point of, like, just shivering and crying.
Me too. I was a little wimp.
Imagine having that VR as a kid. But I'm going to yoink it right out of your hands because when I went, I had bought tickets for myself, my wife, and my two sons, Wyatt and Wesley.
Oh, wow.
But guess what?
What?
I didn't read the fine print. You have to be 13 because those packs, they
damn heavy.
Like, they couldn't wear them. You had to be 13 and up to do it. They refunded my money, which was nice, but I couldn't do it with any because my wife had to stay with the kids. So it was like this bittersweet thing where they're all like, go and do it, Daddy. Yeah. And I was just like, so I loved it, but it has that tinge.
Were you with three strangers or did you go alone?
I was not allowed to go alone. I went with one stranger, one other person. It was this weird Australian woman, this tourist.
Okay.
And she was great. And we're like shooting things together. She's like, oh, crikey. Like, I'm literally yelling.
Yeah. You can't help but get into it. You cannot help but get into it.
Yeah. It was insane.
In the end, I mean, they're going to get rid of it now, so I can give you a spoiler. In the end, you go into a room and you think you've got the boss or whatever. And then there's a window and Stay Puft's on the window. And my back was to it. So I saw the three other people there go, oh, shit. And then I turned.
Oh,
and
really? Do you see like the walls cracking and stuff like that? Yeah.
It was so well done.
Yeah.
What about Extreme Ghostbusters? It was a spinoff of
the real Ghostbusters.
Of the real Ghostbusters. It had Egon is like an older professor.
Him and Janine were still living in the firehouse with Slimer, which is odd. Like,
you had your first female Ghostbuster.
Yeah, Kylie.
Right.
Kylie.
And she's canon now
in the comics.
Yeah, the comics.
Yeah, Kylie Griffin. She works at Ray's Occult Bookshop. She's also like a Ghostbuster. She's more like B-team. Like, she will go out and trap and zap ghosts and shit, but she's also like more like she's late. She's back in the firehouse doing like research. Like,
it's kind of like how Grand Admiral Thawne is canon again. Like, the
just
Extreme
re-retconned.
Ghostbusters isn't canon, but they put her into it.
It is canon. That's a thing.
Well, it's all different universes, right?
Yeah, now there's all different.
Including Ninja Turtles.
That's how it started. The containment unit is getting too big. We should create another pocket universe to send these ghosts.
Plain gods, sons of bitches.
Yeah, they tapped into the Ninja Turtles timeline,
right?
And they met the Turtles. The thing got destroyed, so Donatello and Egon worked on it together again.
Yeah.
To get them back into their
Donatello
world.
Donatello does machines.
Oh, yeah, everyone knows.
I like that.
He's not a party dude.
And I liked...
he doesn't lead.
What was the one with them and the new Ghostbusters?
Well, that was...
Was that 101?
Well, they started cataloging the different universes, and they had adventures with the real Ghostbusters. They've had adventures with the reboot Ghostbusters.
Right.
And then... They recently, they're fighting a whole different baddie. They're fighting, and it's like a dimensional-wide thing. And every Ghostbuster is like called into action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's Garrett. He's a fellow in a wheelchair. There's Roland. Eduardo, your first Latino.
Yeah,
Ghostbuster.
Yeah. I had all those toys. One of the toys that was actually even marketed and announced, but it never happened, was Egon's Laboratory.
Yes.
It was going to slide right into the firehouse.
Yeah.
And I wanted it, and it never happened.
You could see the prototypes. People have the prototypes. And
yeah, really?
Online. Yeah. It's cool because it's like unpainted and stuff like that. It's like cool shit like that.
The Playmobil one that's out now, mm-hmm. one that came out last year, yeah. is pretty awesome.
So I got it right there in the living room. And I got my real Ghostbusters.
It was cheap, too.
Firehouse in the living room, too. Yeah. Complete. Yeah, it is pretty cheap. I have the whole thing so far.
Especially compared to the Lego one, because the Lego one was cool, but it was so expensive.
I never finished building it. I'm still halfway sitting in my office. Yeah, because I just hit a point where I was too busy. It was like, I'm sitting here building it, losing money. Like, I'm not working on artwork.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, just wait till the boys do it.
Yeah, well, and I was craggling it. I was gluing it.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, you know who I always wanted to know more about?
Yeah.
The blonde lady at Louis Tully's party.
I know.
She was, because she always, even as a kid, I was like, she seems too physically attractive to be into Louis Tully.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm going to get out of here. Great. I was like, oh, we're just going to dance. And then she dances.
Staring at her boobos while she's dancing. That's what he's doing. He's like, oh my God, what are you doing,
Louis?
You're a creep. He is a creep. He's climbing out on ledges.
He is a creep.
Every time that door opens, he's on it. Like, his dick is pressed against that door. You know his dick is pressed against that door. You know Dana Barrett's door smells like his sausage.
Oh, my God. Louis Tully's another one.
Kids, don't sniff too. Dana Barrett's door. Yeah, he's another. Yeah, time's up, Tully.
Yeah.
That would be a great shirt.
Wait, it's got to be a picture of her with the grocery bags being like, no, I'm all right. Thank you, though.
Yes.
We're having a party if you want to come by.
So I climbed out of the ledge. You're like, what? You did what?
That was a nice apartment building, though.
Oh, are you kidding? 55 Central Park West. You ever go to the building?
No.
Oh, it's cool. It's the building minus, like, the top.
Minus the gateway to hell?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool. And the church that Stay Puft steps on, it's really there.
Oh, really?
It really blows your mind. And it's cool to see the proximity. Like, it is across the street from Tavern on the Green.
I didn't know that.
Another funny thing that you don't really notice until you go to that area. You know when Lewis runs across the street towards Tavern on the Green and he jumps? There's that little wall. He kind of legs it and flips over.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go there and look, it's like a fucking 12-foot drop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it makes it even funnier to know, like, he was like, I just fell over this wall.
I haven't done that. I've gone to the firehouse.
Yeah, yeah. I was just there Sunday. My son Wesley and I went to the Mystery Science Theater 2000 Live showing of Death Stalker 2. Well, riffing of Death Stalker 2.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, we went, and then we were driving back home, and I was like, we were on the West Side Highway, and we hit Canal Street. I was like, dude, I could go left like three blocks and go right to the firehouse.
Right,
and he's like,
yeah.
We just went. And
it's just fun to be there.
Yeah, it's such a, it's got that vibe. It feels like Ghostbusters. You're in the 80s when you go there. It's weird.
The first time you see something from a movie in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when I was when I was like 18, we went over to Quick Stop in Jersey.
Oh, yeah. See, I've never been there.
And it's a bodega, but you're also like, this is the store from Clerks. I'm like, I'm literally in Clerks. Like, that's where that happened. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So it's such a, imagine for a kid, it must be like wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It's just like mind blowing to see my kid just in front of the Ghostbusters firehouse. And it's even crazier coupled onto, it was just featured in that Spider-Man PS4 game.
Yeah.
And he could visit it there, and he's just like, oh my God, this, like, he was so amazed to see it on there. And then they go, like, you want to go into 3D? Let's go see it for real! Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
Oh my God. We're coming to the end, but we have to talk about the 2016 Ghostbusters reboot.
Okay.
All right.
The much maligned.
This is the thing. Some people were against it because they're fucking sexists.
Yeah.
And
the downright douchebag.
Right. And
attached to that poor.
Exactly. And they attacked Leslie Jones and got her off Twitter.
Oh.
And I'm not those fucking people. But at the same time, it's just not that good. I defended it because I was defending it against neckbeard douchebags.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just not that funny to me.
My least favorite part in Ghostbusters is when Ray blows the ghost of Lenny Bruce.
It's weird.
Complete. I can't believe they did that in the reboot. Yeah, because well, we gotta flip the first scene.
Yeah,
yeah. Another
his cameo in the reboot is weird though.
Yeah.
All those. You know what though? One of the weird things. One of the reasons the reboot from the get go was a weird concept was Bill Murray was like, "Okay, I'll do it, but I'm not going to play Venkman." And by that choice, it couldn't be in the canon of the original. It had to be a complete redo. And from the get-go, that bothered people. And something a lot of people don't realize, the way the movie industry is now is international. You have to make money in China.
Yeah.
And China doesn't take ghosts lightly.
You can't really release a movie about ghosts in China.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't find it funny, which means no Ghostbusters movie can do good in China.
No. I still like it. Admittedly, I don't watch it much.
I saw it twice in the theater, and I think that was it.
I think I can't remember. I probably saw it like four times in the theater. You know what's funny? You haven't seen this since the theater. The Blu-ray cut is different and actually funnier. It's a little
raunchier.
Does it
have Chris Gethard back in it? Because he was cut out of it.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah.
Because he's in one of the trailers.
He's in, I think, just the blooper reel, but I don't think he's back in the actual cut. The actual cut added, like, alternate lines and alternate takes of things.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's one part, though, I like that they added, like, at the end with the ghost kind of going crazy and stuff. There's like a ghost of a baseball player sitting in a diner, like yelling at somebody. He's like, what the fuck? Fuck you. He goes, what the fuck am I even doing in New York? And I was like, that's really funny.
That's a funny bit.
And it made me laugh. I was like, I'm glad they added that. They added a lot more cursing.
You know what the thing is?
Like, they made a lot more R-rated.
The word on the street, and I'm not in the entertainment industry, so I just know this from like podcasts, but the word on the street was, if you can find the script, it was a hilarious script. But then Sony got their fucking hands on it, and we're like, cut this, cut that. No, that's too far. Because guess what? Every other Paul Feig movie has been hilarious. I love his movies. Yeah. I think Heat is amazing. Yeah. I think Spy is amazing. People who have read the script have said, like, you can see setups that are in the movie now that don't pay off, where in the script it paid off.
They just didn't
like Bill Murray's cameo. It doesn't pay off. It's like a setup. It doesn't go anywhere. There's like no joke there.
Yeah, and they just brought like him on screen and killed him. Like
Sony basically, they basically tied his hands because they were like, we want it to be a franchise. And he was like, well, I want it to be a funny movie. Paul Feig didn't have the ability to do what he wanted. And I think the poor guy now takes all the fucking blame for it not working that well.
Yeah.
And he...
Well, also, I think the problem was vaginas.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Let's just call a tit what it is, okay?
I had a...
Jesus Christ.
I have a stupid person that I'm related to, let's say. And this person said on Twitter, women can't be Ghostbusters. And I'm like, that's not a real job, though. Like, what the fuck are you saying?
You know what had me questioning myself was... I always get pissed at people who say that, like... You know, anyone could be a Ghostbuster. Like, get the fuck out of it. We've all... How many times have you seen the cartoon? Janine pick up a proton pack.
Right.
Lewis grabs a proton pack.
Right.
Lewis is a creep. We established that in Act 2.
Yeah.
Of this podcast.
Me too, Lewis.
Yeah.
Time's up.
Time's up, Tully. But... So anyone could be a Ghostbuster. But recently, I've had a beard for years. Uh-huh. I just shaved my beard because I was like, Halloween, I'm going to throw on my Ghostbuster gear. I was like, Ghostbusters don't have beards.
Right.
Fell into that trap. Does that make me a weirdo?
No. Look, there's poison online. Like, people who, like, feel like they won something by kicking Kelly Marie Tran off Twitter.
Oh,
like, those people
man.
Are douchebags.
Yeah.
But then there is a small section of just nerds with nerd OCD where they're like, it can't be because that's not what it was. And those people, they're not right, but... I don't necessarily think that they're coming from an evil place.
No, I think it's
some
more like that's the logic in their head. And if logic fails, you lost everything.
Right,
like
right,
sky's falling.
Yeah.
Logic does not compute.
I had a friend like that who hated the 2009 Star Trek. And he was the biggest Trekkie. And I was like, the JJ Star Trek. And I was like, That was so much fun. How can you not like that movie?
I admittedly, I hate every ounce of Star Trek. I'm going to lose people.
That's okay.
It's all right. This is a safe space. Every last tribble.
This is a safe space.
All right. There are certain things that I cannot understand, and it's Star Trek. It's Pokemon.
You're too old for Pokemon.
And it's Power Rangers. Yeah.
I love Power Rangers.
I'm too old. I'm aging.
You don't like
that.
Rick and Morty either.
No, I do not like Rick and
Morty.
Okay.
It's okay. Hey, this is a safe space. This
I do
is a
not
safe
like,
space.
Oh, man.
You don't even have to explain it.
Yeah. I mean, there's better stuff out there that doesn't get its due, like Venture Brothers. You know, that's personally how I feel. Like, there's things that, like, are struggling, and there's, like, it's not getting its due.
We did a whole episode on this podcast about Gravity Falls.
Gravity Falls is great.
Amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes, agreed.
We say all the time on this show, you can't love everything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't pretend to love everything. I'm going to love things that you don't love. Me and Emilio, my co-host, is the biggest WWE fan. He actually has another podcast.
Oh, yeah, I don't get wrestling
all about
either.
WWE.
But wrestling I used to love as a kid. Like, early 80s wrestling was my favorite thing in the world.
It's not my thing at all either, but it's like, you know, so it totally makes sense.
Everyone's got a hill, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you what, this is a positive story. I didn't love Ghostbusters, but when I went to the theater, I saw a little girl playing Ghostbusters, running around, being excited, and I thought about me as a little kid.
Yeah.
And literally, I saw that little girl having a ball, and I literally said, who cares what I think?
Yeah.
Take that away from her. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Like, she's doing what I did. Because
you're a Grinch at that point. Yeah. You don't want to take away people's happiness. You know what you are, my friend? You're a big, big, mean, green Grinch.
Because I remember...
Who wants to be the Grinch? You know he's the bad guy.
Yeah. I think that's a lesson that a lot of white guys in their 30s, like us, need to, like, fucking learn. Which is, like, first of all, why are you spending so much of your energy hating something you love? To me, the choices are love or indifference.
Yeah, there's really no middle ground.
Right, why do you hate it? If you hate it, then just, like, don't waste that energy.
Yeah.
No one's ruining your childhood, you fucking infant. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you
if you wanted to ruin my childhood, you'd have to go back in time and take it away from me. I'm a grown-ass man now.
Yeah. You know what? I agree. You know what it is, too? It's also the threshold that I think a lot of people don't hit. Man, I'm not to mince words or be mean, but there's a lot of the fan community that's lonely dudes. Like, they don't get laid. They don't get no puss. They don't have a family.
Incels.
And when you're... Listen.
It's the incels.
Yeah. When you have someone in your life that you love, when you have a woman in your life, if that's your persuasion...
Or anyone.
Yeah, but in this particular case, like, if you're a guy who's telling you women can't do this, women can't do that, and you have a woman in your life... You're not going to tell her she can't do it.
Right.
You want to build her up. You want her to be the greatest woman she could be, the greatest human she could be. And then you also hit a point further down the line where you have children. And you, every fucking decision you make, everything comes out of your mouth, it crosses your mind, at least for me, if you're a good parent.
Yeah.
You got to make that stand. We're like, what do I want to come out of this?
Right.
Like, this is my great experiment. I created humans. Life! I created life, and I want to see where it goes. Like, do I want it to kick down the village, or do I want it to be friends with everybody?
Right.
And that comes into play. And it's sad that a lot of these shut-ins, these neckbeards, these toxic assholes are at such a disadvantage because they don't have people that love them, that depend on them, for them to be the best neckbeard they could be.
Right.
Me be best troll. Like, they don't have that opportunity. And I feel bad that they're at that disadvantage. That sucks.
Right.
It's a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Love can't win because they don't have it.
Last question before we go. What do you think is going to happen next? You and I were of the generation where we would go to, what was that Ghostbusters website that was constantly putting up fake news about Part 3? It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
There's Ghostbusters
in hell.
Yeah. Right. Mel Helton. Helton. Yeah. Spook Central.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the next thing that's going to happen, do you think?
Because
they're not going to be done with the franchise.
No. From what I gathered, they're working on this new animated series, like Ecto Charger or something like that. Like, it's something weird like that.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be another Extreme Ghostbuster-esque, like, new group. If I remember correctly, it's actually set in the future.
That could be cool.
I say nay. The real meat of Ghostbusters is like this, like almost sparking homemade equipment.
Yeah.
You could see the solder points. It's
banged
up. It's dingy. You give me future weaponry, it's Men in Black.
That's almost like the original screenplay concept, right? Wasn't the original one like they were like firefighters?
They had like helmets with visors and they used wands.
Yeah.
They had like weird gauntlets with wands sticking out from the wrist. So almost like you picture where Spider-Man would shoot his webs from.
Yeah.
Like there, and it would be like wands and they'd be using that.
That's because Dan Aykroyd would write like 800-page scripts.
Yeah.
When you turn on your podcast about the Blues Brothers and like the first – it was like the size of a phone book or some shit.
Yeah, it was like part of the story that later got appropriated and trickled down into the second Blues Brothers movie.
Oh, God, that movie.
I'm going to do in that air quotes because
that movie's bad.
We're calling that a movie. Yeah.
That movie's so fucking
bad. Yeah. The big Blues Brothers story. It had like backstories on every member of
John
the band.
John Duck Dunn or whatever the fuck.
Donald Duck Dunn. McIntyre Murphy, Lulu Marino. Yeah.
He would just write crazy shit.
Yeah.
The original Ghostbusters had a subplot where Ecto-1 was possessed. Some of the shit was even shot.
It wasn't possessed. That was
remember that ticket falls on.
Yeah, it wasn't possessed. It was just more like it was just like its own.
It was like the TARDIS.
Yeah, like the TARDIS, it was kind of like alive. Like it wasn't possessed by a ghost.
A lot of ideas in there,
dude. There's this weird subplot. You could see the cutscenes, but it was also in the novelization. It follows these two homeless guys that were played by Murray and Aykroyd.
They tried to do the Coming to America thing.
Yes, exactly.
And it's so bad.
Yeah.
I've seen those scenes.
It's
and
very weird.
Thank God they got rid of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And they would just tie it into it and was like, why?
Yeah.
Like, what does this have to do with anything in this movie?
I think if you want to see unfettered Aykroyd, look at Nothing But Trouble. Because that's an insane movie.
Yeah, that's when he had like complete.
If you want to see a comedy version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, if you could sit through Chevy Chase's performance in that movie.
All right, we did it, Chris Sorrentino.
Yeah.
We talked about everything, I think. What's your social media? How can people follow you?
You know what? Just go to chrisjsorrentino.com. And you can find all of my social media. You could and you can see all my artwork. I did the graphic for your show. I do a different graphic every episode.
Yeah, man.
For my show,
that's
Super Live
a lot
Adventure.
Of work.
Yeah, but
how do you do that?
I do it to keep my skills sharpened. Well, I was just saying
it's based also on the title.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to know the title too. Like the title's the last thing I do on this show.
We pick the title as a quote from the episode.
Right.
When we listen. We pull like a list of quotes we like, and whether there's ones that'll never make the cut because they're too long, or just like expletives or something completely disgusting.
You know what I mean?
And then I'll draw it, and it goes up Monday morning.
It's a lot
of work,
man.
Yeah,
it
keeps my skills sharp. It helps get me jobs, but you can find all that stuff on my website, or you can go to superliveadventure.com. Yeah.
And you have a great style. It's sort of loose in a fun way.
Yeah.
And you just did Large Marge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Two Large Marges.
I did two Large
Marge.
Pre
and post.
Yeah, and I put it on a hinge. And it swings open. You know what, though? I can't lie. Like, I love the hinge. I love it. I love the painting. It came out, the double painting. It came out amazing. I originally envisioned doing some kind of pop-up, and I just couldn't figure it out on a canvas without it being, like, a mess.
I like what you did. They're two paintings that are together, and
They're on canvas,
right?
They're mounted and they swing open.
And when you see your work, it has a sort of like childness to it. It's recognizable, but also you don't just copy.
No, I do it. I do it in myself. It's funny because I had someone. First of all, I always call myself. I bill myself as a nerd pop artist. It's pop art, but it's not so much pop art, and it's nerd art, but it's
Disney stuff.
Yeah, it's very genre specific. Like, I did a series of Mystery Science Theater 3000 paintings called Misty Pieces, which if you're a fan of the show, you're called a Misty.
Mm-hmm.
So these Misty Pieces, and I would just take a random frame of a favorite episode. So it'd be just like Gamera, or like the brain that wouldn't die, like the lady's head in the pan, in the pan. And I would paint the same silhouette figures of Joel or Mike and Crow and Tom Servo.
Yeah.
Like, I would paint with the movie theater seats. Like, that's actually on the canvas.
Perfectly iconic.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to do more. And I would never change. It's the same exact
right.
pose. I would paint over and over on every one of these paintings. So you do a lot of genre-specific stuff. Yeah.
One of your favorites, one of my favorites of yours from a couple years ago is a gremlin with the 3D glasses.
Yo, you know how that came about? That's so funny you said that. I painted a gremlin, and it was weird because my kids originally were freaked out by gremlins, and they Ghostbustered it, where they accepted it and learned to love it,
yeah,
and they conquered that fear.
Mm-hmm.
They're gremlin heads. Right? Up there. They are sick gremlin fans. But originally, I painted this, and it was freaking them out. The red eyes just scared them.
Yeah.
And I would have it hanging up by my bedroom, and every time they walked by it, they would get scared of it.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife, to counter that, instead of taking it down, which is pretty cool of her, she put a pair of 3D glasses. She taped them on there, and they started laughing at it, and it became acceptable in the house. We had an art show. I was like, yeah, you know, let me bring this with me. It's about time. Like, I'll hang a painting for a while, and it's like, let me sell it, rotate the art at home, and give it a new home.
Yeah,
it has a whole new life.
Right.
A whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. I brought it as is with these stupid 3D glasses taped on it.
Yeah.
And somebody loved it and bought it.
He does prints that are beautiful.
I do.
So like,
I do.
Like,
oh, yeah, I do my prints.
I collect the prints.
I dress like Prince. And I get out in the street. Yeah. I do the whole album. I do Purple Rain front to back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When Mike says I do prints, I really do.
Morris Day is there.
Oh, man.
The time.
Some paintings I'll make an art print out of, and I don't know why I don't do a lot more of them. I should do, because I get requests,
well,
and I'm
saying,
like,
it's cool if you don't have, because, you know, you're a real artist who puts real work into it. Like you said, you're a bad negotiator, but it's money.
Yeah.
Prints are super easy. Like, I have, I think, every print that you've done or something.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for coming on
the show. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for doing the PCMC image. I love it.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me do it. You kidding me? Like,
yeah.
It was a treat and an honor.
You have a podcast everyone loves. You've got a Patreon.
Yeah. I'm one half of the Super Live Adventure podcast.
Every Monday.
I do that show with the amazing John Zaluga. He's a comedy producer over on Practical Jokers, past few seasons. He's a comedian. He's my best friend in the world, my hetero life mate.
It's a funny show.
He's the greatest man.
You guys are both dads. You talk about...
We're nerdy, dirty dads.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very funny show. Yeah.
If you dig the nerd pop culture stuff, but also it's a lot of nostalgia and deep cuts.
But you guys get personal about yourselves.
Very personal. Yeah.
It's not like a PCMC where we're like tackling different topics. You guys will just like, you'll be like, what's going on in your lives and stuff. And it's very funny. It's a great show.
But we do sometimes get it. It's you know what? We always have a problem marketing what the hell the show is about, because it's just pure craziness. We drink while we're on the show. So by the end, we're usually bombed. We have some crazy guests on. We do some crazy things, man. We've recorded at somebody's house as they were making Thanksgiving dinner.
Nice.
We sat there for 4 hours having a rotating
group
of guests come in. We've done shows from house parties, like a lot of live shows. We have a big live show happening Thanksgiving Eve at Makerspace. Yeah, part of Manny Rondon's show, Manny's mixtape. We're going to be doing our big Thanksgiving Eve show. We always do a wild show. Last Thanksgiving Eve, we were at the Super Secret show. We had Johnny Pugs, the Scottish wrestler, Kuma, come in and fight Tony Dangerous, Staten Island's own Tony Dangerous, while Nick Williams and his wife, Lindsay, did a circus freak show act that they do in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He, like, sang opera while having a concrete block smashed on his chest while laying on a bed of nails and walking on glass, and she threw knives at him. We do some wild shit. So if you want to see some wild shit, you come out to that show. Go to superlightadventure.com. You can find out all the dates. Like I said, it's Thanksgiving Eve. We have another show at JHU Comic Books, December 15th. That's here on Staten Island. We're doing it with the Jack Kirby podcast. Those are some friends of ours. You can find my band, Wahoo Skiffle Crazies, at wahooskifflecrazies.com. It's another thing we didn't even get into. I've been in Staten Island's only jug band for the past 11 years.
Staten Island's best jug band.
Thank you. Our premier. The premier. At one time, the nation's best jug band. We won a championship out
of
Chicago.
I still think you are.
Thank you.
The nation's best jug band.
Oh, you're the best.
We're going to go bye-bye.
Tuck me in.
Go bye-bye.